No, one of the things that we're talking about being program at home or program at school or program by the media. I grew up in an era where if you asked for something, it made you a wimp. If you were John Wayne, you had to figure it out yourself. And that was the major macho stereotype. If you ask, you're not macho. We're programmed by our religious training. You know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The Bible says, also, on the other side, ask and it shall be given. So we get a little bit confused there. But to want for yourself is to be selfish. You're supposed to only ask what you can do for the community. Only ask what other people need. Don't ask for yourself. And we're also programmed by doctors. I mean, how many times you've been to a doctor and you start to ask a question and they go, look, I'm the doctor. I'm telling you what to do. I don't have time for this. You know, get out of my office. And so, you know, people have almost died because of that kind of thing where they're afraid to ask a question or afraid to say, well, what do you think about this and so forth and so on. So basically, we've got all these fears, we've got all these limiting beliefs, we've got all this self-doubt. So let's take a second and look at what are some of those most common limiting beliefs that stop us from getting what we want, from asking. One of the limiting beliefs that stops a lot of people from asking for what they want is this belief that if you really loved me, I wouldn't have to ask. We've heard that a million times. If he loved me, I wouldn't have to ask. He would just do it. He would know what I want. Well, I always tell people, unless you're married to a bona fide psychic, it's unlikely your partner's ever going to know everything you want. You have to have the courage and intelligence to specifically ask for it. Let me give you an example. When I first married Georgia, we were living out on this little lake in Massachusetts, and it was about 7.5 miles from town, and it was pretty isolated. And when I say 7.5 miles, it was a long ride because the road was really twisty. So when we bought groceries, we bought for like a week or 2 weeks at a time. And we lived on this hillside where we'd park up above and walk down this steep set of stairs into the back door of the house, into the kitchen. And we'd get this van full of groceries and we'd come home. And I'd be walking down with all these groceries and then back up and get more groceries and back down and back. I felt like I was a pack mule. And I was resenting it. And I remember one day, we took this workshop, and we're sitting in the workshop, and they said, talk about something you resent. It was a couples enrichment workshop. And I said, you know, I resent that I'm always the one that walks up and down with all the groceries, and you just kind of take them out and put them on the counter and put them away, and it doesn't feel fair to me because I'm carrying all this stuff. And she says, honey, if that was bothering you, why didn't you ask? And internally, I'm going, ask? I could ask? I was thinking if she really loved me, she'd see how much I was struggling. And I'm sure I would over-dramatize it, you know, like, look how sweaty I am and all this kind of stuff. But she never simply offered. And so I think so many of us grow up with this notion that, you know, if your husband or wife loves you or if your boss likes you, they're going to offer you the raise. It just doesn't work like that.
It's like the woman who comes into the husband and says, honey, will you carry out the garbage? He says, I'm waiting for something. She said, then I'll do it. He said, that's what I was waiting for. And the other one is that no man was ever shot by his wife while he was doing the dishes.
It's true. You know, another major belief is that being needy is a weakness. And I think men have this one perhaps more than women. And that is that we grow up and we never see our parents. We never see men asking for anything. And so we assume that it must be wrong to ask and that you're supposed to be tough. I have a friend, Tim Peering, who was in the Marines. And basically the belief there was, you know, you have to do it all yourself. You have to be a self-contained unit. And if you ask for anything, then you're a wimp. Another belief is that the world's not a responsive place. What's the point of asking? No one cares anyway. People and institutions don't respond, especially when we're young. We're not taken seriously by our parents, by teachers, by people in the stores. You go in and they ignore you. And we begin to think, wow, I'm not important. And if you're not important, then you don't ask.
Another limiting belief is that my success will deprive somebody else of their success. And it's interesting at two levels I want to talk about this. Number one is that people say, well, Bill Gates has got it all. Well, last year, Bill Gates, according to Forbes magazine, made 23,000 new millionaires. And people are saying, well, Bill Gates is controlling the whole world. Well, Bill Gates deserves it. He desired it. He had a bigger imagination. And the fact of the matter is he asked himself the question, how does Microsoft work? And he says, Microsoft's only asset is human imagination. I suggest to you, my friend, who's listening right now, that your only asset is human imagination. Jack and I are just imagination into realization, and we hope it brings your life into a higher and higher level of good manifestation. And the same principle is here. You know, you say, well, if I have more food, somebody else will have less. Let me just go in a little deeper on that. The top economist in the world who wrote God Wants You to Be Rich and Unlimited Riches, as far as I'm concerned, is Paul Zane Pilzer, and I guess Paul is also the richest. When I was a grad student in 1970, everyone was saying there's not enough resources to go around. what happened is we're going to run out of oil and then the lights were going to go off. Well, if you go way back in history, we're going to run out of whale oil and the lights were going to go out, and then we found petrochemicals. But the fact of the matter is what Paul Zane Pilser teaches is that we learn new drilling techniques just at the beginning of the 70s. Instead of just being able to go 10 miles into the core of the earth, we can now go 50, 60, 70, 80 miles into the core of the earth, and we're drowning in oil. What I'm saying is that all scarcity is self-imposed, and the way we blast through scarcity, get out of the breakdown and into the breakthrough, is by asking questions of the right people. We'll continue our discussion in the next section.